First, want to thank everybody for joining us today on what is a bittersweet day for our franchise, for our community, for our fans, the NFL, for my family, and for me personally. Over the last 16 years, we've seen a lot of changes here. We've seen a new stadium go up, we've seen uniforms change, we've seen coaches come, we've seen different players come and go. Change upon change upon change. But over those years, there's been one constant here in Tampa, a true professional in every sense. What I would consider the definition of greatness on and off the field. And we talk about Buccaneer men, I'd say, if you're going to put a picture on the wall of a true Buccaneer man, it would be Rondé Barber. He's been a once-in-a-lifetime player. And, you know, when you see it every single week and you watch it every single week, sometimes you can take for granted what you are watching. There are fans throughout this country who go year upon year, season upon season, and never get to witness what we had the privilege of witnessing week upon week. 16 seasons in the NFL, all with one team. Franchise record with 241 games played and 232 starts. A franchise record for most interceptions in one season. An incredible streak of durability in this day and age, starring his final 215 games, the sixth longest streak in NFL history. 9 Defensive Player of the Week awards, tied for most in NFL history. 200 straight starts at cornerback, the most in NFL history. He's the only player in NFL history with more than 25 sacks and 40 interceptions. His career 28 sacks are the most ever by a defensive back, again, in NFL history. He had 14 career return touchdowns, including 12 on defense, which again is tied for third most in NFL history, and 5 Pro Bowls. You can go on and on and on, but incredible, incredible career. But the true mark of greatness is not only what you see on the field, but it's what you see off the field. Off the field, Rondé has always been absolute true class, a role model for everybody in our community and all kids around the country. And behind every great man, he has a wonderful family, a Hall of Fame wife, Claudia, and 2 beautiful kids, Justice and Emil. Again, we've been blessed and privileged to watch him week in and week out for 16 years. When I think back at some of my greatest memories in Buccaneer history, I think one stands out above all. I'll never forget the freezing night in Philadelphia with number 20, arms in the air, running 92 yards, taking us to the Super Bowl. You know, words can't thank you enough for everything you've done for this organization, this community. You'll be sorely missed on the field, but always be part of the Buccaneer family. So with that, turn over to Rondé Barber.
I didn't write anything, but I did make a list of everybody that I need to thank. Thank you, Joel. It's good to hear somebody else talking about me, you know. Because I talk about myself a lot, especially here recently, because of this decision that I'm making today. And I'd be lying if I said I made it today. I didn't. I made this decision. I made it about a month ago, and I was pretty certain that it was the right decision. I'd love to say I did this on my own, but I didn't. You know, the best thing a player can have is a great family. And I do. And it starts at home with me, my mom, she's not here. It was funny, I talked to her yesterday. She said, I've been watching you boys play for 32 years. You know, all the way back to rec league. She said, now I finally get to retire too. I had the most motivation any player could have. I had a great twin brother. He was my inspiration more than I probably ever say. I almost wanted him to succeed more than I wanted myself to succeed. And I love him. I love everything that he is and what he's become. But I'm a great football player because he was a great football player. And I think he would say the same about me. I go home every day to the best wife in the world. She's got to deal with me a lot more now. My two girls, I don't know if they really understand that daddy's not going to be putting on his pads anymore, but they got to deal with me too. And I actually think they're happy about it. Joel, Brian, I cannot thank you enough, man. This opportunity that you guys gave me, your family, it's far more than football. It's personal. And I've had a great opportunity to get to know you guys personally, away from this building. And it's a special, special relationship. I thank you. Your sister, your brothers. I always remember your father coming into the locker room and giving us that handshake and wishing us luck on the day. And I was glad that you guys continued that tradition. I always not only wanted to talk about other things, your other holdings, but always wanted to shake your hand and know that I was going to give you my best that day. So thank you guys. You know, my buddy Brian told me not to cry. Keep looking at Claudia and I want to cry. So I'm going to try not to. I'm going to get on with this. But, you know, I've had a lot of good influences in my career. Like I said, it was not me alone. Obviously, the opportunity to coach that you gave me last year, working with you, working with the DBs, working with these young guys, Jeff Hafley. I know he's in here somewhere. He's been begging me to come back for a month. I really appreciate the opportunity last year to have to change positions to be on this team and allowing me to do that. Thank you. You know, I loved my first year in the league, and I didn't say it. I don't say it. I didn't say it then, but I say it now. I had a coach in Tony Dungy, who I knew believed in me. He's told me since, even though I didn't believe it at the time. I had a defensive back coach in Herm Edwards, who was ridiculously in love with my ability to play, and he stuck by me. I had a defensive coordinator in Monty Kiffin, who allowed me to become the player I am, but let me define the position that I played. He had great assistants that I'll never forget, with Rod and Lovey, and Mike T came along, changed my career. Raheem, who was one of my best friends, ended up being my coach for a couple of years. Jimmy Lake, Rich Bisacci, who was our special teams coach, who still calls me a prick every day. I'm not sure why. And I won a Super Bowl with a great, great head coach in John Gruden. I'd be lying if I said I didn't appreciate every single thing that those guys gave me. Mark, thanks, man. 4 years, 3 years, sitting around wondering if I was going to be wanted back, and you always wanted me back. Thank you, man. You didn't have to do that. A lot of younger, faster guys probably play the position better than I can, but you always wanted me back, man, and I thank you. I was drafted here by Rich McKay. We were talking about this earlier. And pretty unceremoniously first year I had here, but it was a great year for me because I learned what it was going to take to be a professional. And they stuck by me. You know, 6 years later, 7 years later, Bruce Allen, when I was 31 years old, gave me a contract to be here for 5 more years. It's taken a lot for me to get to 16. But those guys are the reason why. And I look around this building right now, or this room, and see guys that absolutely are the reason I did not miss a game. See Dave Levy in the back over there. Dave graciously made tape after tape after tape that I'd sit there and watch and watch and watch, and they gave me a room that they called my office with video and everything else, and that's why I was the smartest player. It wasn't because I was the smartest guy. Todd, love you, man. Best trainer in the NFL. And it's not just lost on me that I was a healthy guy for a lot of years because of him. Pat Jernig is not here, but he taped my ankles every single Sunday. And I appreciate it. I appreciate the little things. Jeff Ryan's down here, and Jeff has been a huge part of not only my professional career, but my off-the-field career. And Jeff, thank you, man. You've always been my guy. Appreciate the PR staff here, the community relations staff here. I'm the guy that everybody thinks I am because of everybody else. Andre. Where's Andre? Thanks, man. Been a good friend, buddy. There's two women in this building that have been here for as long as I have, longer. Jill. You're a special lady, baby. You're special. I'll be calling on you now. I need to get all my stuff sorted out. And Nancy, where's Nancy at? Everybody asks me who drafted me. I always say it's Nancy. She's the one that called me and said, I got coach for you. It was the happiest day of my life. Thanks for being part of that. Man, I had the ability to stay in this game for a long time, and I played with some great, great players. I talked to Sapp earlier today, and he's, you know how Sapp is. He's jiving me and telling me how great I am and this and that and that. I always wanted to be like that guy. When I first got here, he was a presence in the locker room, and he influenced me. To be a guy like him and to bring a guy like me under his wing, that was I cannot say how thankful I am. Was in a room with John Lynch for 7-8 years. I don't even know the number. But to this day, he's the biggest mentor of my life. And he'll continue to be that. Forged some great friendships with guys. I see Donnie Abraham back here. And nobody talks about Donnie much because of me. But it took me 16 years, I was telling him this the other day. It took me 16 years to get 12 more interceptions, and he had 9. And he's a special guy, man. I loved our relationship. I still do. I know Shelton's in here. After Hardy Nickerson left, and Hardy was a huge influence on my life just because of the way he approached football. But then Shelton became a good friend of mine, and we won a championship together. Guys like him, Brian Kelly, Dexter Jackson, Jermaine sitting in here too. Guys I shared a room with. Amen. I did it for you guys as much as I did it for myself. I came up here not really knowing what to say. But I think the best way to end it is say, I had fun. I love coming to work every day. Even last year, when you beat us up. I love football. I'll always love football. But football is just what I did. It's not who I am. And I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to do what's next. You turn enough chapters in one book and you finally get to the end. You shut it, go to your bookshelf, you pick up another book. And that's what I'm willing to do right now. I'll take questions. Nobody all at once. I know I didn't call you guys back last night, but geez. got your voicemail too, Ira. I shared it.
Thanks for at least texting me back.
Yes. One word answer.
I think what everybody wants to know is what led to this decision now. There's part of you, I know that you still think you can play a little bit, but why now? Why this year?
It was time. You know, there's a lot of factors. You know, a lot that, you know, you can either extrapolate on or not. But for me, it was time. You know, what it would take for me to get back into, you know, my body to take another pounding, 17th year of pounding. You know, when I woke up however long ago, a month ago or so, when I just made this decision, officially made this decision, it wasn't worth it. You know, it's nothing against the guys in this room, signing guys, making moves. Yeah, it's a necessity for this organization. I understand that. I respect that. You know, I fought off competition for years, so it's not about that. This is what I was supposed to do because this is where I am, and I'm ready to be home.
Rondé, can you say what's next for you? What's the next chapter? I would assume broadcasting. You'll have plenty of opportunities in that. What network? Where are you headed?
I'm not ready to say what I'm doing or where I'm going. Playing a lot of golf. Handicap's going down. But yes, I'll be somewhere. You know, me and my manager have had a plan for a lot of years. Met with guys in off season for the past 3 or 4 years. You know, you've seen my mug on TV. I enjoy doing it. So you'll know soon enough.
A lot of professional athletes get to end their career and start the career with the same team in any sport. How meaningful has that been to you and to end this on your terms?
It's special. It's special. Got a lot of peers here that didn't get that opportunity. And they've expressed to me how happy they are that I got to do that. Like I said, you've read that book, A Series of Unfortunate, whatever, Misfortunate, whatever. I'm the opposite. It's been a series of fortunate events for me to stay here, to not be hurt, you know, to continue to get the opportunity to play, sign back here. You know, my desire was never to leave. And maybe when I was a free agent the first time, I thought about it, but my desire was to be here and be a Buck. I love Tampa. Tampa loves me. So, I couldn't imagine it going out any other way. So
you said you made this decision, I think, a month ago. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of time for second guessing, obviously. Did you ever waver at all? And if so, was there a moment of clarity? Or tell us about that.
No moment of clarity. It was a gradual thing. Finished last game of the season last year at Atlanta. We had a huge win. It's funny, I walked up to Tony Gonzalez sort of the same year. I said, "Hey, you done, man?" And he said, "Yeah, I think I'm done." Right. Makes a playoff run, wins a playoff game, he goes back. But I think I knew then that, yeah, I was probably done too. You know, some people have asked me, you know, "Don't you want a farewell tour? You know, don't you want to make a run in the playoffs and yada, yada, yada?" I say, no, not really. I don't need that. I don't need it. Football's been good. Been very good to me. It's provided me a lot of opportunities in life. But when I made the decision, or when I moved to the decision that I was done, it was a pretty easy one. I was okay. I was content. When I talked to these guys earlier in the year, I told them I was probably good either way. And either way ended up being, yeah, that's probably not the answer I should have given. If I would have said, "No, I want to play," then I probably would be playing. But when I knew it was either way, I knew I was probably done.
Rondé, you know, some players go through a career and they just play football. Mm-hmm. They don't ingratiate themselves with the community. They don't become a part of the community. You certainly did. Talk about that evolution and how this made perhaps this decision maybe a little bit more difficult.
You know what? It's it was easy to get involved here because I had such the role models. Tony was here. It was part of his – it was his deal. You had to do it. Follow the example of guys like Derek, Hardy, Shelton now with his foundations. You know, the Glazers have always been community first. You know, they put that emphasis on the players. So, you know, I grew up with it here. I grew up with that feeling that it had to be done. And, you know, when you have a little bit of success and you show some humility and give of yourself back to the community, they embrace you. That was a great lesson for me. And I'll always be part of this community. I'm not going anywhere. I got nowhere else to go. This is the only place my girls know is home. And this is where I want to be, and I'll continue to be involved. So.
Player link to the championship team and what the future holds for this current generation of Buck players.
That was a long time ago. You know, I almost hate to throw that in there. Yeah, it's 11 years ago. I've had a feeling, you know, that this team is getting there. We certainly have the players. We certainly have the coach. He has the right mental attitude to deal with the players. The vision is good. It's strong. It's consistent. There's no reason we shouldn't be successful. I expect them to. Now, I'll be pissed if they do it this year, probably. But that is what it is. But our great teams in the late 1990s and the early part of this century, there was an imminent feel about success. You know, it was just a matter of time before we won. It was because of the players. There's no reason that this group of talented guys that we have now can't get that same imminent feeling back and make a run. You know, one of the things that John Gruden used to always say, just give me a ticket to the dance, you know, and it will go from there. They should be well on their way to purchasing a ticket. So,
Rondé, you've had a great career with this team, and there's been so many moments. What's your favorite moment over the last 16 years?
Favorite moment? Oh, God, I don't know. It's hard to take the entirety of a 16-year career. A lot of big plays, a lot of significant plays, a lot of big games. And we all know the defining one. And then that's, you know, it's my favorite because it's the one everybody recognizes me for. When I meet somebody on the street, they say, I know where I was, you know. But I don't know. I'm talking to Donovan McNabb later today on his radio show, so it'll either be that game or the one I returned 200 interceptions for a touchdown against him. I can't say any one moment is my favorite. The ride was good. The journey was good. So that's my favorite part.
Rondé, you've always told me that when we've talked about the Hall of Fame for you, it's something you didn't feel comfortable talking about when you were a player. Mm-hmm. You've retired now. I certainly feel that you've had a Hall of Fame career. I think others in this room do so as well with your accomplishments that Mr. Glazier rattled off. Speak to the Hall of Fame. Warren Sapp's going in this year.
Mm-hmm.
In your eyes, how do you look at your career?
You keep talking about it. I was talking to a guy earlier today, and I said, I don't mind being in the conversation. You know, a lot of great players don't even get in the conversation. You know, my stats, my longevity, durability, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that'll speak for itself. But if they're talking about it, I'm that means everybody else is as happy with my career as I was with my career. And there's still things that I wish I would have done. I wish I would have got the 30 sacks. We tried. I think I blitzed 50 times last year. It wasn't like the old days when they said, who was this little number 20 running through A-gaps, making all the tackles? But I think my credentials speak for themselves. When those guys get in the room, hopefully I'll have one guy rooting for me.
When the team honored you in the home opener last year, and did that kind of make your decision a little bit easier, the fact that you had that type of a...
No, I wasn't expected. Coach told me he was going to start me a nickel, which I wasn't playing last year. I don't know if any of y'all knew that. I was a safety all the way. But he started me a nickel to get the 200 starts at corner, and that was awesome. Nice even number, I was happy for it, but it didn't affect my decision. All those records and streaks, and to be honest with you, I get confused on the numbers. I don't even know. I've heard them a lot in the past 2 days, but I promise you, a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't have told you how many games I started in a row. It was never my motivation. I wanted to keep playing, and I never wanted to come off the field because, to be honest with you, I would hate to see Dwight Smith do my job when I was in 0-2 because I got hurt. And I love Dwight. Dwight's here. I just saw you. You're in the background of that picture right there. But in the back of my mind, I always thought I could do my job better than anybody else. And that was just my mentality. It's neither here nor there. So... this organization's always been great to me. I think I've tried to be great back to them. And I know as I move into the next phase of my life, they'll continue to be good to me. So that didn't affect it at all.
Rondé, people will always talk about that night. They'll always talk about, Hall of Fame, this and that. But if you're a fan, media, how would you like people to remember you? If someone said the name Rondé Barber, what would be, in your perfect world, what would you love people to say?
I'd like them to say, that was the toughest dude ever saw a play. I was in Sarasota yesterday, and my wife broke her hand. We were getting a plaster thing done for her hand. And the lady, who I'd never met before, said, man, you're a lot smaller than I thought. Sadly enough, that's not the first time I've heard that. But it's true. I was never the biggest, never the fastest, but I figured out how to be tough and persevere, and that got me through. I think people that watch the games always say, oh, he's the luckiest guy in the world. Balls bounce to him. He's in the right place at the right time. I would say that was by design. But the guys that I played against, my peers that competed against me, I think they knew I was a tough guy. Some of them didn't like me for it, but they respected me for it. And it's all said and done. That's what I'd like to be known as.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have a photo out here. Last question.
To use a golf term,
mm-hmm.
If you had a mulligan, would you use it on your career for anything? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Oh, no, I really wouldn't. My buddy Ben's in here, and he uses a lot of mulligans when we play golf, and he knows that I don't like mulligans. No, I wouldn't. I'd do it the exact same way. I needed to struggle at the beginning. It made me work. If I wanted it bad enough, I had to work for it. I wouldn't do that over. And people in the building at the time were, oh, man, this guy. I needed that doubt, I needed people to tell me I couldn't do it, So deep down I could say, well, I can do it. I always carried a chip on my shoulder because of it. So I'd keep it just the way it is. It worked out pretty well.